Good morning, everybody. I want to welcome you. I'm Donna Broyles, and I will be serving today as your liturgist. Welcome to all of you, especially our visitors. We want to make sure all of you are here today and that we know that you're here, so please take a moment to fill out the registration card at the end of your pew and put it in the offering plate during that offering time of the service. We have several things going on this week and some new announcements since the first service for those of you that were in the first service. The teenagers will be here this Tuesday at noon in the warehouse. Also, we'd like for you guys to join us at our Lenten dinner on Wednesday, April the 5th at 5:45. It's in the warehouse, and we have barbecue chicken and pork sandwiches, baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, coleslaw, and for our kiddos, we have hot dogs and chips. But it's a time for devotion and fellowship, so we'd like for you guys to join us. And inside your bulletin, there is an insert so we can take a head count, so please fill out that and put that in the offering plate as well. We also have Holy Week coming up, so all the services are going to be blessed with blessings and time of worship and fellowship and music. So starting on Thursday, April the 13th at 6:30, we will have the Monday Thursday. That's a communion service. And on Friday, April the 14th, that's the service for the Tenebrae service, where we will be reading the last hours of Christ's life together. Music is incorporated in all of these that the choir has been practicing. And the Easter festival is on Saturday, April the 15th at 10 a.m. And then we will not want to miss Easter Sunday. We look forward to all of you guys being here. We want to mention a special mission ministry that was started in the month of February. Carol Godwin and Claudette Kirks and Marty Gassaway started a mission thing where some of the adult classes and the youth ministry and the children's ministry made cards and posters they partnered with Terry Elementary. As the students are starting to prepare for the statewide testing. And as a person who is in the education field, that is so appreciated. So we do appreciate those that participated, and we appreciate those ladies and gentlemen that helped initiate this task and mission, because those kids need that, because it's a week-long testing and it's very difficult for them. So next Sunday is the UMW bake sale. So if you need any details or have any questions or have goodies that you want to provide, please see Miss Mary here in the choir or see her after church. Also, we have someone we really want to recognize, and that's Doug Walker. Back in February, the charge conference, he was affirmed to serve as a certified candidate for ministry. Is that right, Brother Chase? So when you see Doug, just congratulate him, because God has many opportunities and blessings for him. So let's stand now, welcome each other, and pass the peace of Christ in love. And welcome to everyone.
Thank you.
please stand for our call to worship? Where is our freedom found? We are made free by the love of Jesus Christ. No longer does death or sin have power over us. Praise to the Lord for freeing us from captivity. How will we use our new energy and passion? Let us live for Christ, who is transforming the world. Please remain standing and lift up your voices as we sing hymn praises of God, all glory, laud, and honor, hymn number 280. Remain standing for the affirmation of faith, the Apostles' Creed, found in your bulletin, as well as on page 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
So glad you're here. Thank you for coming up. I am going to ask you if you can tell who I am. I lived a long time ago, at the time of Jesus, and I lived in the town of Jericho. Do you think you know who I am?
Mary?
Well, that's close. Close, but I'm actually a man. Anyway, I'm going to give you some clues, see if you know who I am. My people hated me because I was rich and I took tax money from people and kept it for myself. Those are a couple of clues. The third clue is I wasn't very tall. And when there was a crowd, I couldn't see over the crowd. Does that ring a bell? Anybody know that? Who that person might be? Who I might be? Starts with a Z. Z. Zacharias. You got that? You remember that? Zacchaeus. Got mine mixed up. I've got my people mixed up. Zacchaeus. Does that ring a bell? Okay. Well, one day, Jesus was coming to my town of Jericho, and he was walking down the pavement, down the road, and I couldn't see. I tried to see him, but I couldn't see. What did I do?
You climbed up to tree.
Climbed up a tree. That's right. And when Jesus came by, what did he see? Saw me up in the tree, didn't he? What did he tell me? Does anybody remember? He told me to what? Come down the tree. Yes. Because he was coming to
my
house. Yes, he was coming to see me in my house. The people were very, very, very surprised because I was such a bad person. When I met Jesus, my heart changed, and I promised to give half of everything I owned to the poor, and I also promised to give back the money that I cheated people from. Now, we want to try to remember that Jesus forgives us. And we have a little song. Do you remember the song? Anybody out here remember the song? Well, let's sing that little song just to remind us of this story.
Tree, and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down.
Thank you, David, for coming today to play for us. We have so many trials and triumphs in our world today, but let's take a moment now to go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, there's so much prayer for our sorrows and disappointment that touches our hearts. We pray for our leaders, both state and local and federal, all across the nations, that you would guide their decisions and their discernment to serve our country and our communities faithfully. May we always choose the more difficult and rewarding path, but yet sometimes it is so easy to take that is more traveled. We seek your wisdom, Father, to align ourselves with your will. Let us maintain a strong faith that is willing to take the risk of carrying the cross and following you, Jesus, as our Savior. The more we trust in you, Lord, the more truth about life we uncover daily, that love should always be unconditional, that mercy should always be the first response, and humbling ourselves should always be to show us the growth in your grace. You are our God, and in you we place our deepest trust. And now, Lord, we pray the prayer that you taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. We have a lot to be thankful for as well, and remember to put your Lenten dinners and your tithes, and thank you for your tithe and time that, as you serve the Lord. Lord, as we give, we seek to receive your grace that frees us from so many burdens that dominate our time. Help us to be more focused on you, that we may allow our time, our hearts, to reign, and that you, Lord, just reign over our hearts and our minds daily. Amen.
No other land.
Please remain standing and join us in our hymn of meditation, hymn number 462, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus.
Amen. Won't you be seated? It's so great to welcome you on this beautiful day. It's been so gorgeous this weekend, and we are certainly excited and joyous in the season of spring. We now turn to our scripture passage, which will come to us from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Hear these words, maybe familiar words that you've heard before, and may they fall and rest upon your hearts and minds in a fresh and new way. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, he has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much. Then Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. the plant that I hate the most on the planet Earth, the one I despise with every fiber of my being and wonder why in the world God would ever create such a plant, is the dreaded Chinese holly. I don't know if you're familiar with the Chinese holly, and if you are, you probably know where I'm going with this, but the Chinese holly is a bush, and the leaves on that bush are just prickly, and they're just sharp, and they easily scratch and cut you if you do anything with them, and they always bring me pain. There have been several times when I was growing up where I would have to rake the dead Chinese holly leaves, and they were still thorny. And now our procedure for cleaning up the yard waste was to throw it into black trash bags and put it in the side of the road, and the yard people would come and pick it up. And well, guess what? The sharp, thorny Chinese holly leaves would pierce through and cut my legs as I'm carrying the bags with me. There was one bittersweet day when my parents decided to yank all of the Chinese holly bushes from our property because the owners had planted them there. It was bittersweet because it was a day filled with pain, you see. There were scratches, there were cuts, there were scars, I'm sure, that have left from that occasion. But it was so sweet because we got rid of the Chinese holly. The Chinese holly cuts and scratches and can leave scars. It's tough to deal with. And that's exactly how it is when we deal with money. It can so easily leave us scars on our hearts, upon us. It can anchor us down. It can have and bring deep pain to our lives if we're not careful. We all know what money is in this society. Money is to us. We always feel like we don't have enough. There's always worries that what we have is going to run out. There's always worries of someone else who doesn't have enough, or someone else who has way too much. This issue of money divides us. It builds tension between people, tension within families and among friends, within our society, among countries. This one little thing called money or possessions has the chance to really bring pain to our lives. And Jesus was serious about money, especially serious in this Gospel of Luke, because you cannot read the story of Zacchaeus without having read the chapters before, because it sets everything up. Up to this point, all of the rich and powerful people have been turned away. There are signs of no hope for them. There's examples of the man that fulfills the great commandments. And yet Jesus asks him to sell all of his possessions to the poor, and he's unable to, and he turns and leaves. There are passages dealing with that it is easier for a camel to walk through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. These are serious, gut-wrenching passages of condemnation on those that especially use their wealth and their power to abuse, manipulate, or just to sit back and enjoy life. When Zacchaeus comes on the scene, it changes everything. Zacchaeus gives from a place of joy. He gives from a place of honor because Jesus wants to stay at his house. And when you read how Zacchaeus is going to sell half of his possessions to the poor, and pay back all of those he owes by four times. That is to signify that he is giving it all up just to honor Jesus for coming to his house. And so it is true when Jesus says, and it is literal when Jesus says, salvation has come to this house. Because up to that point, everyone else has not met the bar. Everyone else has chosen a different path, a path not of the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus is in the kingdom of God and giving it up. I think it's so appropriate. And how can we seriously go through the season of Lent, especially, without confronting head on the control and the attachments that money brings to our lives? It's so important that we confront this force in our lives and search with how we are connected to God. One of the simple questions we can ask is, do we control what we have? Does money and possessions control us? Or are we willing to put God in control of it all? There's a beautiful passage that happens shortly after the story of Zacchaeus, where a poor widow is in the temple. And basically, she takes the equivalent of two pennies, and she offers that to God. Both Zacchaeus and this poor widow are faithful. They both are in the kingdom of God because they have given everything. But what's marvelous is that this poor widow understands everything there is about the value of what she gave. She understands the value of what she gave because she lives in poverty day to day, and she knows what it means to depend upon God instead of money. And let's also remember that even though Zacchaeus gave all in the name of Jesus, Zacchaeus is still a powerful man. And we can safely assume that Zacchaeus could get some of that money back over time, where this poor widow gives it all, uncertain of when she will get some in return. Statements of faith. How does your faith align with that treacherous, that arduous, that hard word of money? Security. That's what this is about. Who we place our security in. Is it first security? Or is it God's security? And I don't mean to make this a stark contrast, but Jesus literally shares that this is life and death important stuff. That if we're not careful, that money can be a Chinese holly and cut us. How will you be faithful? With security, we want to be safe. And it's been shared with us, especially from when we were young, to be safe, you have to have the means to be safe. And the means to be safe is money, so you can ensure that you have housing, water, food, the essentials. And for many of us, to buy happiness and joy and entertainment. This is a false narrative. And it leads us down a dangerous path of not being able to truly see who is at work in the world and what really matters in life. What matters is following Christ. What matters is the kingdom of God and sharing that with our neighbors, living it out day in and day out. So, brothers and sisters, all I'm really asking this morning is just for you to approach all of your finances, what you have, with two questions. Where in all that I have is this faithful to God? Kind of a sign that I've heard in research is that where you spend your money the most is what ultimately you care about the most. So how does all this line up with your portfolio, whatever you have, and how is that faithful to God? And if you feel like it's not showing up to be faithful to God, how then can you move in a direction that would be more faithful to God, where God touches all aspects of your finances and your life in terms of generosity and selflessness and giving? I'm sure many of you have heard sermons on money year after year after year. But it boils down as a statement of faith and what you believe about the God we serve. So I leave it in your hands. What is it that you believe about this God that comes and dwells with us and shows us unconditional love? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now be standing as we sing our closing hymn, a wonderful song, The Old Rugged Cross. Let us stand. It's on page 504. If there are those who'd like to come forward for a time of prayer, to join our church, to affirm your faith, we welcome you at this time. Go forth and spread the good news that Jesus frees us from the things that control us in this world. Jesus frees us from those things that chain us. Go forth and share the good news that unconditional love has come to your house, and share it with the world. Amen.